Hallelujah. Yes. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this is your day. To die to yourself. Praise God. Oh. You know, I want to share something. And, you know, God begins to open the heavens and begins to open the spirit realm. And we begin to see things, and there's things that we don't want to miss what he begins to show us. And there, the area of what we've been talking about, divine positioning, divine order, always keeping the Lord first. And so many times we don't realize that the Lord is first. It's real simple to put yourself first before the Lord. Amen? It's real simple to put your family first before the Lord. Sometimes we get in the way of the Lord in the area of trying to rescue instead of stepping back. In other words, that's all you and I can do is be a witness and a hand of God. But only God can do the healing. He can only do the freedom. He can only do the deliverance. Amen. He is the healer and the deliverer. And so many times we get in the way. And in that, you know, there is reconciliation in the Lord. And God desires reconciliation in all kinds of things. He wants to bring back what the enemy has stolen from us. There's got to be a position where we're able to receive it. There's got to be an area where there's a humble heart and willing to do whatever it takes. There's got to be a place of cooperation. There's got to be a place where you're not fighting for you anymore. You're fighting for him. And until we reach that place, we'll always have these conflicts that constantly overcome us. In other words, you can't be victorious in a place without battling. And I can't emphasize this enough, and we talked about this last time too. If you're not a person that's willing to fight, you're not a person that's willing to win. Does everybody get this? There is no victory and no winning without a fight. And you must get in the battle. I'm going to share with you that marriages are destroyed. The enemy comes and steals money and everything else in people's lives because they're not willing to fight. They become religious. I'm telling you, religion is self-destructive because that's an area where a person believes that they're spiritually okay. Anyone who believes that they're spiritually okay is bound by religion because none of us is okay. We must constantly grow. There's no turning back. There's only going forward. By going forward, it means that you want to grow. See, you can't live on what you knew. Does everybody get this? You can't live on old manna. You live on fresh manna. In fact, when the Israelites were in the wilderness and the Lord sent them manna every single day, it had to be used that day. It rotted in 24 hours. It was no good. It spoiled. If you ate it, you got sick. See, so there's an area where listen, what maintains new is eating of new, not of old. There are things that God is exposing and opening strategies. There are things that he's releasing to us in an area of how to battle. But if you're not a person that battles and you're just religious, you only maintain a certain level, but you won't be victorious. God wants warriors now. He is raising up warriors. This is a house of training. We're not no Bible studies. We're training. This is training so that warriors can be raised to overcome the enemy in every circumstance that can come across their path in their life. But there's got to be an area that there is participation and cooperation and a desire to maintain unity, not division. There's got to be a place where we're willing to wait on God and not tell him how to do it. There's a place where there's such a relationship with the Lord. We don't pray to angels. We don't pray to demons. We don't pray to saints. We pray to the King of creation. There's nothing in between. And if there is, then it's an open door. That means you're praying to something. People are still praying to things. There are those who pray with a rosary. A rosary is an accursed item, I'm going to tell you right off the bat. It's praying to the dead. You don't have to go to a priest to confess your sins. You go to the King of Glory to confess them. Only he can forgive you. He's the one you want to be forgiven. Amen? There's this area in place in the spirit where it's an overwhelming place of love, joy, and peace, and nothing else matters. There's a place where there's such trust that you don't have to do anything there. You just have to abide there. And you know that he's getting ready to do something. So many times we're always trying to do something when God is saying, hold off on this and do this. In other words, start what I told you to do. If you haven't completed that, complete it. Why are you jumping here? Why are you jumping here? Why are you jumping here? Complete what I told you to do from the beginning. Because see, you'll never get full-blown reaping on things that you didn't complete when he told you to, if you're doing something else. Does everybody understand that? And let me tell you, if God told you to do something, he provides for it. Does everybody get it? You don't have to go out and try and beg. Believers are not to be beggars. God provides everything for us in every way. The first thing he tries to provide to me and you is called wisdom. Too many people are looking for the provision of money when he knows you're going to get outwitted and lose it anyways. Does everybody get it? People work their butt off and end up losing it anyways because they don't have any wisdom from above. And they can't maintain the wisdom from above because they can't maintain God's presence. There's something that the Lord wants to do with us specifically right now. He wants you to be his weapon. Does everybody get this? How can you be his weapon if you're not sharpened? If you're not able to be gripped? It's called a battle axe. Everyone say battle axe. I never knew what a battle axe was. When I was a young kid, I used to hear my dad call women battle axe. Oh, that battle axe. Whoa, what's that? You know, I thought it was something really out there. Come to find out, I looked it up. There was a definition for a woman called a battle axe. It was a woman that was aggressive, domineering, and forceful. We call that a Jezebel, not a battle axe. But in this, and that's a spirit that pushes a person. But there's an area where God wants me and you to be his battle axe. A battle axe used in battle was used in the medievals and so forth. And it's like the sword of the spirit, but in this, it's an axe that has double sides on it. It was actually used, the reason why they used that was to bust the sword. And it was heavy, it was so strong, but when a person pulled out a sword, now a sword was used because it was movable and quicker. So they used battle axe to be able to bust the swords and bust through walls. And bust, there wasn't anything that the battle axe couldn't penetrate and bust. And God wants you to be his battle axe. Battle axe. Has everybody got it? Just in case I slip a little bit and sounds funny. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you're not willing to battle, can there be victory? No. And if you're not willing to battle, you can allow the enemy in? Yes. You know, I had this when we were worshiping, and I love it because the Lord always puts something in my spirit associated with a message or something. And I saw this house on a lake, and all these people were around it and so forth, and there was a barge attached to a dock off of the home. And in this barge was all toxic radioactivity and all kind of garbage. And it was releasing and affecting everyone that was living there. And nobody was willing to go over and cut the ropes off the dock. That's all they needed to do was cut it loose from it. And on this dock, on this barge was drugs, alcohol, perversion, fear, anxiety, stress. It was just radiating all of these things, oppression and heaviness. And it was interfering with everyone that was living around the lake. People were downcast, discouraged. But it's not until somebody pulls out the axe, that battle axe, and cuts those ropes that hold that barge so it can get cut loose and float away, then people can get freed and healed. You know, especially, I look at myself as the head of the house. I'm responsible for my house. I'm responsible for my wife. I'm responsible. I'm accountable to God. Everybody has their own accountability to God, but I'm still accountable for what he's given me. I'm accountable to people he brings here. I'm accountable. I will stand before the Lord and everything that goes on. And because of that accountability, there's an area that I must intercede and battle for everyone. But in my own home, I have to battle. I don't get in a battle with my spouse. I get in a battle with the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? Now, there is a physical manifestation of the battle in the spirit realm. There will be a physical manifestation of that battle. But in that, I'm accountable and responsible as each and every one of us, especially those who are married. Man, you better pull out that axe and cut the stuff that's affecting your household, because you'll be accountable for God. Now, the religious will get into that place where, oh, I know the Word. I know what pleases God. I'm okay. He knows my heart. Well, that's a sign. Those are fruits of religiosity. That's not a fruit of a warrior. A warrior doesn't make any excuse to pull out a sword or an axe. He pulls it out automatically. It's a part of his life. In fact, he starts his day by cutting everything in its way and removing all the garbage that will affect himself and his household. Staying in order, waiting on God, waiting to hear what's next. Many people think they heard from God, but you know what? You'll know by the fruit, won't you? You know by the fruit. And if we're not willing to judge our own fruit, God judges your fruit. And when he judges your fruit and you're not willing to do it, what you've been blessed with will begin to, you'll begin to lose it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 3, would you read it with me? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not physical, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is what? Fulfilled. So in other words, you have no right. You're not going, God isn't going to be, if you're not obedient and submissive to the Lord, you think he's going to promote what you're doing? No way. So he says, when your obedience is being fulfilled, then you have a right to war on my name. Has everybody got it? And not until then. So there are people that are, they're praying. They show up once in a while. They think they're doing the things that are right before God, but they're still losing things. The devil's still stealing, killing, and destroying because they're not fulfilling the obedience to have dominion. Listen, if you're not submitting to dominion, if you're not submitting to authority, you have none. Does everybody get it? And the enemy knows it. He knows it. He knows when you're submissive to God. He knows when you're in divine order. He knows it. He sees it. And he knows how to sway you when he can. So if he knows that you're not in divine order and you're not under divine protection, you think he's going to hesitate? No. He's going to do everything he can to keep you and prevent you from getting into that place. See, so many people are looking at each other and everything. They're still looking at one another. They're still looking at their job. They're still looking at their circumstances and not realizing that what's happening in their life is from the unseen realm because they refuse to look there. In fact, they don't even want to look there because the spirit of religion prevents them from looking there. Let me tell you something. The spirit of religion puts scales on you. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees had scales on them, and they thought they knew God. But they were so out of order, it was ridiculous. They did nothing but cause disorder because they were prideful and arrogant and thought they knew God, and they didn't. Even when God showed up, they didn't know him. So if they knew him, you'd think they'd recognize him? No, they didn't. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Ephesians 6. Our weapons are spiritual. God wants me and you to be the weapon of war. Say, I want to be the weapon of war. God's weapon. A battle axe. Yeah. Almost wants you to say something else, but you know you just can't. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, 17. Would you read it with me? And take the helmet of salvation and the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we see here the sword of the Spirit, amen, which is the Word of God. Now I want you to understand that the battle axe is also the Word of God. But these are weapons that God has given us. He wants His people to be a battle axe, where no weapon formed against us will prosper, where we are more than conquerors. A battle axe is more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 4. In verse 11, let's speak it. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of what? Disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I want you to know that the Lord is the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jesus was the weapon of God. He was the weapon of God. He came to destroy Satan's authority. He came to destroy his kingdom. He disarmed him so that you and I could have victory. In other words, he spiritually disarmed him and gave us spiritual armament to have victory over him, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you are not using it, you're losing the battle. There is no victory without a fight. Jesus paid the price for me and you to get into the battle. This is not a religious act. This is not a soulish act. This is not a desperate act. It is an act of authority and dominion of who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, you won't battle. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Psalm 149. You may think you know who you are, but if your fruit is not in battle, then you don't know who you are. Psalm 149. Verse 5. Psalm 149, verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Let the saints be what? Joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute on them the written judgment. This honor, everyone say honor. 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 This honor have all his saints. It is an honor, but if you don't know who you are, you won't do it. You constantly call on the Lord. Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus, save me. Oh, Jesus, do this. Oh, Jesus, do that. And let me tell you how he answers you. Go here and learn. Go here and learn. Go here and learn. That's how he answers us. Go here and learn. If you're not willing to learn, you're going to end up burned. You'll get burned again over and over. You'll stay in that cycle until you finally get to a place, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Then you're not going to do. You're going to go learn somewhere. That's how he answers us. Go learn. He said, come to me and learn. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does he say? Deny yourself. You know what? Pick up the crosses. Pick up the axe. Pick up the sword. What do you think the cross looks like? Looks like a sword, doesn't it? Put it in upside down. And Jesus was on it. Deny yourself. Pick up the sword and fight. Fight. This honor have me and you, saints of his. Fight. Praise and worship brings God's presence. High praises in the mouth, sword in the hand. Why? Because it's the anointing that you need, or else you have seed in the hand. Right? Remember, you throw seed at someone, that ain't going to do much. That seed ain't going to cut someone's head off. Hallelujah. Isaiah 13. You know, I hear many people say, well, God is love. He paid the price already. Yes, he did. And he is love. But he's also God of wrath. He even says he hates certain things, doesn't it? Amen? He's the God of wrath. He came in the fullness of grace and love and truth. Grace is God's plan to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. That's why he came. Because he didn't want you to come under his wrath. He wanted you to come under his love. But under his love and maintain that place of position, you got to fight. There is a fight for the positioning all the time. Isaiah 13, verse 2. Lift up a banner on the high mountain and raise your voice to them. Wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my what? Sanctified ones. Are you sanctified? I hope so. Unless you're out of order. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called for my mighty ones for my anger. Those who rejoice in my exaltation. Verse 4. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like that of many people, a tumulus noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. Are you in his army? They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. The Lord in his weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands will be limp, every man's heart will melt. And they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel. The day of the Lord comes cruel with both wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than gold, more than the golden wedge of Ophrah. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. I wouldn't want to mess with him in this. This is what's coming. Grace is to allow me and you to escape his wrath and escape the deception of the enemy. Does everybody understand it? We are the warriors. We will see the wrath of God. You'll either be on his side or the other side. That's your choice. Amen? Go to Jeremiah 51. Sure is quiet in here today. What's up? Everybody okay? In verse 17, let's speak it together, please. Everyone is what? Dull-hearted with what? Without knowledge, without revelation, without knowing what's going on. People are dull-hearted. That means their heart is hardened and they're dull of hearing. I'm going to say that again. A dull-hearted person is, their heart is hardened and they are dull of hearing. They can't hear correctly. They miss God. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the carved image. For his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them. For he is the maker of all things, and Israel is a tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 20, say it. You are my battle axe and weapons of war. We are his battle axe and weapons of war. With you I will what? Break the nations in pieces. With you I will destroy the kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I'll break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you also I'll break in pieces man and women. With you I will break in pieces old and young. I'll break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you I will also break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I'll break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you I'll break in pieces governors and rulers. I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. 2 Chronicles 23. It says, and they went out throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Then all the... verse 3. 23:2. I'm on 3 now, though. Verse 3. Is everybody there? Then all the assembly made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and he said to them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David. This is what you shall do. One-third of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and the Levites shall be keeping watch over the doors, and one-third shall be the king's house at the king's house, and a third at the gate of the foundation. And all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. Now, I want you to understand, Levites and priests were where? They were with the king. They were protecting the king. Everyone else is where? In the outer court. But let no one come into the house of the Lord except the priests and those of the Levites who serve. They may go in, for they are holy. But all the people shall keep watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in his hand. And whoever comes into the house, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. In other words, we are with the king in spirit. Does everybody understand it? That's why he's called a commander. He's the commander in chief. He is the leader of the military. We are with him. He's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords for a reason. And in battle, he's always with me and you. So, but it all goes in the area of, where were they? They were in the second chamber of the tabernacle, weren't they? That's a place of dwelling. It's a place of priesthood. The most holy place is a considered place of warrior. All of that's known as the king's house, the king's place, the king's palace. Go to Ezekiel 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. In verse 1. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhook at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's ink horn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go to the midst of the city, to the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. In other words, they were grieved because of the abominations, because of the offense that they were causing to the Lord. And to the others he said in my hearing, go after him to the city and what? Kill. Do not let your eye spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children, anyone on whom is the mark. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And begin at my what? Sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone. And I fell on my face and cried out. And I said, O Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel and the pouring out of your fury on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eye will neither spare nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head. Just then the man clothed with linen, who had the inkhorn at his side, reported back and said, I have done as you have commanded. I want you to know that this was the throne room of God where he was sending wrath out. And these were angelic warriors with a battle axe that went out to destroy anyone that did not have the Lord's mark. Because there's a mark of Satan and there's a mark of the Lord. Does everybody get this? And one of the things the enemy always wants to do is exchange the mark of the Lord for his mark on you. Is everybody okay? Praise God. So we are to go out as a battle axe, as warriors, defending individuals that have been taken captive, defending widows, defending by speaking the word, by declaring the truth, but first be an example. If you can't be an example in your own home, if you can't be an example in the house of God, how can you be an example anywhere else? Then you're a hypocrite. Amen? In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What happens is when you refuse to battle, you fall into the flesh zone, the carnal zone. Because to stay into the spirit realm, you must battle to prevent you from going back into the carnal or the flesh. Does everybody get this? And in Romans chapter 8, in verse 5, would you read it with me? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So a person that is not battling is carnal, because it's not submitting to the law of God. And in that law words means commands of God. Too many people just think the law is like the Ten Commandments. These are the commands of God, the things that he speaks daily. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because they're not willing to battle. He says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if you're in relationship with the Spirit of God. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. Why? Because you're not battling. You are not denying yourself. You're not picking up the sword, and you're not battling. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Well, let me tell you, if you're being led by the Spirit, I get people telling me, yeah, I'm being led by the Spirit. Well, if there's no battle in it, it can't be leading to the Spirit. Because the Spirit always leads us to battle. What did he do with Jesus? Where did he lead him? Into the where? Wilderness. To do what? Lay down and give up? No, he led him into the wilderness to battle. He always leads me and you into battle. Why? Because the battle's won. See, too many people are too passive in the area of spiritual warfare. Oh, I trust God. Well, God don't trust you. He doesn't trust anyone that's not willing to battle. How could he? That's what it is about. It's a spiritual war. There's a war going on. It's a battle. It is a fight. And he wants us to be victorious because he already said that we're more than conquerors. But that means we got to cooperate. We become the battle axe. We become the sword of the Spirit. We become the living word of God coming forth from our mouth, carrying his presence, and not quitting because it doesn't feel good, not giving up. Never being swayed by money, not being swayed by people, not being swayed by environment, not being swayed by jobs, not being swayed by anything. Maintaining your course as a warrior. Quit pleasing man. You won't fight. 2 Corinthians 6. Are we not the temple of the living God? Are we not the tabernacle of God also? Amen. And because we are the temple, then God who dwells within me and you, and he's the commander in chief, he's trying to express himself out as a warrior through us also. He's trying to express himself of someone with compassion. He's trying to express himself through us in every area of character of Christ. That's why in verse 16 it says, what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. 16. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people if they'll do this. If they'll come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. I don't see people in the world fighting spiritually. And don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. In other words, being able to discern what is the voice of the stranger. Don't agree with it. Amen? The word tells us that God was going to send me and you in amongst of what? Wolves. There's wolves out there. We're in a war, in a world. Remember, the ruler of this earth is Satan, and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy us in every area he can. He's going to try and get you to become complacent and lazy, sleepy, dull, drift, and only do things which is arm length instead of moving, making things only convenient. Let me tell you, God begins to, when he sees you begin to drift, he makes things inconvenient to get you off your blessed assurance. See if you're going to battle or not. Hallelujah. Romans 13. We are the weapon of God. We are the battle axe. Everyone say, I am a weapon of God. Romans 13, verse 11. It says, and do this what? Knowing the time that now is high time to what? Awake out of sleep. Pull the sword out. Pull the battle axe out. Come on, man. Let's get going. Let's stop being asleep and lazy. Don't wait on somebody else. Don't wait to get rescued. Fight. For now our salvation is nearer than when it was first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust and in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ is a warrior. Amen? He's a warrior. Cast off the works of darkness. Deny yourself. Pick up the crosses. Pick up the sword. Follow means to battle, because you can't follow without a fight. You'll be distracted. Paul told, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll go there for a second. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. Hallelujah! Become aggressive. Domineering over darkness and forceful to remove it. That's a battle axe. You become what? Aggressive, domineering, and forceful over darkness, not over people. If it's over people, you're a Jezebel. Verse 1, I charge you there before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the what? Word, be ready in season and out. Convince, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we know that's happening now. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure. I'll endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry or fulfill your calling. And I'm going to close at Romans 15. The battle axe. Romans 15. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on. For whatever things are written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be what? Like-minded. Can you imagine if everyone was like-minded to battle? Most people get up in the morning and go, oh Lord, you know what I need. Thank you. It's a wonderful day you allowed me to live again. Oh. Man, you get out of bed and you take your coffee with you. You know, you get quickened in the spirit and quickened in the flesh. And go war. Go battle. What you know is not right, kill it. Does everybody get it? What you know is not right, kill it. And if you don't know if you don't know that it's good and you question it, kill it. Because it's not right then. There is no question in something that is right before God. If there's a question to it, it's wrong. Hello. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, and that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. It is written, for this reason I confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, for with his people. Again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he will rise to the reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in living and believing, that you may abound in hope and by the power of the Holy Spirit and become a battle axe for the King of glory. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb, and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. And I pray boldness to each and every one. Aggressiveness against the enemy. No compromise, but taking dominion and forcing the enemy out of the house of God and out of the Lord's camp. In Jesus' name.